You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Under My Roof. How many of you have ever heard that with the rest that goes with it? Well, you're going to do this my way as long as you live under my roof. How many really have heard that? Let's do that again. You actually heard that. Wow. Okay. How many of you have actually said that to your children? There we go. Some hands went way up like that. Okay. So why do we say that? And why is that said to you? Because when it's said to you, it's not very popular. Because it's not said to us unless we are bucking the system, unless we are determined to do what we want to do, when we want to do it, where we want to do it, no matter what any authority says. And then you have this collision if anybody cares. And this is one of the big points. You say, well, I never heard that. That may be a problem. Either you weren't a problem or you had a problem in your house because no one gave you any boundaries. So the second you grow up and get outside of that home, if you ever grow up, then all of a sudden boundaries come in. Even our society says, this is our house. Here are the laws. Here are the rules. As long as you live in this country, this space, you have to abide by that. And there are still people who say, you can't tell me what to do. And they bust out and, you know, kind of push against that and say, well, I'm going to do it anyway. And we say, okay. You can do whatever you want to do, but there's going to be consequence, okay? Now, this is one of the toughest things. I grew up where it seemed like there was nothing in church but consequence. God was just waiting to pounce on you, just to take you down, just any chance. As long, you know, here are my rules, and if you get out of hand, dude, we're going to knock you into the next century or backwards, so he can do it any way he wants because he's God, but, you know, we'll send you anywhere. But he was just waiting. I thought that opportunity, and I realized, no, that's not it. But the pendulum can swing so far that you say, well, I thought it was all about damnation and all these terrible things, and now I understand. I swing way over here and go, oh, it's all about grace. And God loves me, and he does, and he's going to forgive me, and he will. There's no consequence, and that's not true, because he's depicted as a father, and any father knows if you love your kids, and it says in the book, a father chastens, the King James Version, chastens, disciplines, comes after their kids to prove that they love them, because we need boundaries, right? So then you try to say the same thing about a church, and people go, whoa, you can't be doing any of this in church. You can't say this is his roof and God can make calls and people stay and go and any of that. We can do whatever we want to do. That's not true. Okay, so I'm going to read you some tough verses today, some of them really tough verses. And before I even get you into these verses, go turn first of all to Matthew 18. And by the way, if you took the time to read this whole chapter, it's not a let's crush somebody chapter. Down in verse 12 with me, he says, what do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? Clearly it's talking about you'd leave 99 to get one. So we're not trying to abandon anybody. You go after one if there's one missing. And if he should find it, assuredly, I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. So it is about rescuing sheep. Even so, is it not the will of your Father in heaven that one of these little ones should perish? Even so, is it not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish? Moreover, if your brother, now look at the context, and he rolls right into this next statement. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. They did something. You go say, hey, I don't know if you intended this. I'm upset. This is what happened. Let's talk about it. And they go, wow, I didn't intend that. Or I did intend that. And you go, well, I'm sorry. And then it's diffused. It's over. But when you go, you know, yak into everybody you know except that person, now you've blown the whole thing up unnecessarily. give the person a chance. You say, well, they're all screwed up and mean. If you're not doing it by the book, you're screwed up and mean. It's not just them anymore. Now you're maliciously trying to attack them. If you're so healthy, you're going to do things in a healthy way. So you go to that person. Let's resolve this. I love you. I don't know if you intended this. What's going on? Let's figure it out. You try to resolve it. Boom, you got him. Okay, if that doesn't work, then what do? Keep reading. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. Yes, that's what we're trying to do. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. So now you got witnesses. Okay, so you say to two or three others, look, I love this guy. He's locked up. I tried. No budget. Will you guys go with me? And you go. Now, everyone that you pick, hopefully, is in a spirit of restoration, trying to say, hey, we're here to help. What's going on? This can't go on this way. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. You say, well, that's horrible. You're going to treat this guy like he's not even a Christian? Just track with me. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Then Peter, breaks into this story. Then Peter came to him and said, well, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? So the context again is restoration, forgiveness. So you say, well, it's three strikes and you're out. It says that if they don't change, but what if they keep changing? Now you got a problem, because Peter says, well, and he gets all spiritual. He says, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? I'll just go out on a limb, because who's going to put up with more than, it's a biblical number, seven times. I would go seven times. And what's Jesus' answer? I didn't say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Well, I'm not interested in that. We are all idiots. And you have been doing, and I have been doing, the same stupid thing over and over and over for years. And you know why it's important that he had 70 times seven? Because we need 490 times at least before we figure it out. So we need this mercy, and God extends mercy, and he's on our side. Well, how could you not believe that? He sent his son down here to die for you, for me. I mean, what do you want? So he's on our side. So he extends, he forgives. This is Jesus telling Peter, not 70 times seven, hang in there, keep forgiving. But at some point, people lock up and get stiff-necked, stiff-armed. You cannot tell me what to do. God, you, nobody. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. And then they go just determined. Then something happens. And in this case, the person is removed from the church. It's horrible. It's a terrible thing. Because you do go to the person, and you go with other people, and you maybe have to bring it to the whole church. And it's a terrible situation. Why do you bother doing it? Because that left alone with no consequence impacts an entire church. Now go to the next passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And maybe you've read this stuff and it didn't make any sense. This is pretty much a Jerry Springer episode I'm about to read you. And I love the fact that this specifically is what God included in the Bible. Okay? This is astonishing. And if you've blown through this before just reading it, you miss it. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. And this is what Paul writes to this screwed up church in Corinth. Clearly, you'll see in a minute how messed up. He said, it is actually reported, he's writing to them, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles, the pagans, the non-believers, that a man has his father's wife. So what's the scenario? A man has his father, so it's the father's son, and it doesn't refer to who as the son's mother, so he's remarried, he's with someone, and the son is now sleeping with the father's wife, the stepson with the stepmom. And you say, well, what's the big deal about that? The internet's full of that mess. We've gotten desensitized. The Gentiles back then clearly had not even gotten desensitized to this because they thought, that's crazy stuff. Who would do that? How does that even happen? Why would you go that far? So something, and he gives you a specific thing, and this is how messed up churches can get, the body of Christ, the house can get. So this is going on. And then he says, not only is that going on, but look at the next verse. And you are puffed up, you're proud, and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. It is the last resort. But I'm telling you, if someone comes along in this body and you say, well, why are you even talking about this? You need to know that you have leadership that reads the book, and in certain situations, it is not even about just removing that person. It is protection for you. It's that someone is believing that there's something to the scriptures, something to these systems that work that God put in place. Because if someone comes in with some kind of sin and goes, well, you know what? This is just how God made me, and I do what I want to do, and you people can't tell me, and I'm going to come anyway. I'm telling you straight up, no, you're not. I don't care what you're struggling with. We will put up with any struggle that you got. But if you lock up, the book tells you what to do. And this is not a fun thing. Keep reading with me. So he's upset that this is going on. He's upset with them because they don't do anything about it. Verse 3, for I indeed, as absent in body but present in spirit, have already judged as though I were present him who has done this deed. Like, I already know what's happening, and here's the sentence. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at this. This is unbelievable stuff in the Bible. Look what the remedy is. Deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Now, what does that mean? Literally, turn that person over to the devil himself that he may be killed, that he'll die. I got this question again this week. Can a person lose their salvation? Apparently, you can sleep with your stepmother and not lose your salvation, but you might lose your life. Now, listen really close. Because this is a massive miscalculation, and people out there who are Christians screaming at God, oh God, I'm so angry with you. Why have you done? I'm not saying it's always this way, but people screaming at God, shaking their fists, flipping him off, whatever they're doing, going, why are you doing this to me? You might be doing what's happening to yourself. There is consequence. And you are brain dead to think there's not. It's everywhere else in the world. Why do you think there's not going to be spiritually? You say, well, why do you hit this so hard? Because your life could be at stake. He's not kidding. This stuff is not in here for fun. And I actually know people, I am 100% positive, they died because they locked down. And they literally got turned over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Keep reading. Deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. So he makes heaven, he just doesn't make it here. Now, here's my question now. Let's say you're somehow still here, you're somehow still listening, but you feel yourself locking up. You feel yourself saying, you know what? You people can't tell me what to do. I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care anymore. I'm going to do what I want to do, but I'm also going to stay here and put it in your face. Are you prepared to literally be turned over to Satan and die over that issue? You will give your life for your sin. Instead of realizing that he gave his life for your sin, you don't need to give your life for your sin. One life is enough. Now, am I swinging all the way back where I came from? No, I'm trying to find a place in the middle to help you live. You say, I'm a Christian. I'm with you. You're going to live forever with Jesus. I got it. Don't screw up the only life you will ever get down here by locking up on something. So you got one chapter where one leaves and we leave 99 and go chase one down. So then why would we chase you down? And then if you came back and locked up, throw you back out? Because, well, keep reading with me. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? And anybody know anything about making bread? You put just a little bit. You can keep just a little bit of it and keep putting it back in the bread, and boom, it just takes over the whole lump, the whole loaf. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. In other words, you're trying to live without sin in your life. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Not malice and wickedness. I wrote to you in my epistle. Now look at this. This is hard stuff, by the way. I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. So you go, well, how am I going to, I can't leave the house. Right? Because the whole world's lost its mind. And then he clarifies that. I wrote to you not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world or with the covetous or extortioners or idolaters, since you would need to go out of the world. You couldn't exist. Now pay attention to this. There is a difference. What goes on under his roof and outside of his roof are two different things. I am supposed to be out there for the right reasons with the sexually immoral, covetous, extortioner, idolaters. That's why we're left on the planet, is to interact and show them a better way, God's way. But in order to be able to show them what really works, we have to apply what works here. Because when they get here, if they're trying to escape that life and walk in here and find that life, they go, you're a bunch of hypocrites. I'm trying to get away from that, and you got a room full of it. Now you say, yeah, but didn't you say we could still struggle? Yeah, but I don't want you to be professionals. Because they're going to struggle, and they're going to walk in here struggling. So what is the extreme example? Somebody says, you can't tell me what to do. And we say, well, maybe not, but here's what we're about to do to get your attention. Now, this stuff makes me very nervous, and I'm going to tell you why. It cost Jesus his life to get me delivered from Satan. I don't need anybody delivering me back to Satan for any reason. Because Satan hates God, hates marriage, hates his people, hates his kids, hates everything about us. And if he can get his hands on us, it's not just kill you, it's torture you before he kills you. You say, well, that's crazy stuff. You crazy Christians reading all that crap in there. You think that's all true. You know what? If you're not a Christian, I'm not even talking to you right now. But I am talking to you in this sense. You join up and you get in this deal, you need to be aware this is not some kind of spiritual game. You're dealing with a holy God that gave his son to make something possible, and he ain't kidding. And I got dads in this room who have looked at their kids and said, as long as you live under my roof, this is what you're doing. And they didn't abide by that, and they were given the opportunity to leave. Not turned over to Satan, you're out. So you say, well, it sounds like that's some fun thing for God to do. How could it possibly be fun for God to turn someone over to Satan who has given his son to rescue? So am I trying to scare you? A little bit. Because you can abuse grace, but there is consequence to abusing grace. Keep reading, we're almost done. So he says, I'm not telling you to leave the world. You can interact with those people. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous. Look at this. You say, well, sexually immoral, that's terrible. Covetous? Well, we're all covetous, aren't we? See, we want to throw all the people out that we don't have their struggle. He says, not to keep company with anyone who says they're a brother, who's sexually immoral, covetous, an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. Now, let me try to explain the heart of this thing. You say, well, I think I know a person like that. It should break your heart. There shouldn't be, well, that's all I needed was a good verse to get away from that person. That's self-righteous, crazy people. That's what I grew up with and make me nuts, because it was just judgmental. Take them out. Yeah, deliver them to Satan. Let's watch him take them apart. You know, like there was some kind of sport in it. If it gets to this and you've got someone you love who is a brother, it's a family member, and you look at them and say, dude, I can't hang out with you anymore. And they go, well, what are you talking about? Look at your life. I'm trying to get away from this life. Look what you're doing. You're destroying your life. They go, you think you're better than me? It's not about that all the time. It's not that I'm better than you. It's that you can be better than you. Yeah. And I'm trying to help with that. You say, well, they're going to get all upset and go off and do something stupid. They're already doing something stupid, or you wouldn't be having the conversation. So you just cut them loose and don't eat with them anymore? No, you pray for them. You love them anyway, but you get away from them. Why? Because all it takes is a little, you know, a little secondhand smoke. And next thing you know, you're smelling like you're smoking. Right? And then he says, for what have I to do with judging those who are outside? Like, that's not the problem. God will deal with that. Do you not judge those who are inside, but those who are outside God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person. Now, there's a good chance you wouldn't even be sitting here. And if you're listening beyond here somewhere, you'd have shut me down a long time ago, right? Or maybe you're just like, if I ever get out of here, I'll put a hit on the guy and I'll never come back, you know? Okay, so you're probably in the game. I'm giving you things like this. People go, I just wanted something fun and interesting to hear about. This is not very fun. It may be interesting, but it's for your protection. Because if someone comes in here and says, well, I live like I want to live, you know what? You're not saying that anymore. Even if you're doing that, the heart of what you're trying to do is not do that anymore. You're trying to please God. You're trying to live a holy life. Whether you know that or not, that's what the Holy Spirit kicks in inside of you. And so you're on that path. And when someone comes in and goes, whatever, dude, yeah, it says that, but whatever. You can do what you want to do. God will forgive you. No, that's not true. I had a situation this week. A guy came to see me. He's in a tough spot, and I don't get this way very often, and he's in here today, and you'll know what I'm talking about, and I love him. We're all cool. But in the conversation, he was in a tough spot, and he said something that set me off, and I lit into him, almost threw him out of the building. Because he messed with you. He messed with you. He crossed the line and questioned whether someone in this room was a Christian because of the way they were behaving. That is not the question. If someone is a Christian, they're a Christian. They can be a Christian and sleeping with their stepmother. Stop judging that. You say, well, we should be able to examine the fruit. You'll know them by their fruit. I get that too. But I don't know someone's heart. And if someone tells me they're a Christian and I have seen fruit and then they lock up, it doesn't mean they're not a Christian anymore. So part of being a shepherd, part of having elders and adding elders and doing this is we are here to try to help you, to protect you from yourself, from people who would come in and lead you back out where you're trying to get away from. It's tough. It sucks being a dad sometimes. Can I get a witness on that? You say, well, does that mean you don't like your kids? No, you're supposed to be a leader. You're supposed to make the hard decisions. You're supposed to say no, even if everyone in the house hates your butt. You do the right thing. So stop trying to be popular and, oh, everybody likes me. If you're a leader, everyone better not like you because somebody's not going to like it. That's just life. So lead. Well, you know, she'll cut me off. She probably already has.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
Now, if you're locking up, you say, well, was he talking to me? If you think I'm talking to you, you're in trouble. Then climb in your closet somewhere and say, God, help me. I would love for you to get a picture in your mind of someone or a group of people taking you, escorting you into hell, or at least to Satan somewhere, and say, here, Mr. Satan, is someone who has agreed to being turned over to you to kill them. So we're going to step back now, and you do whatever you do. And God authorized it. Are you interested in that? Then don't mess with him. Do the right thing. Trust him, obey him, follow him, get your stuff together and figure out how to live. It works. It's extraordinary. It works. Sincerity, truth, the stuff you want. Give it a shot and look around you. Now, here's what's going to come out of this. If you're stepping up in your own life, you may have to have some tough conversations with some people around you. And that's part of growing up. And you may have a brother, a Christian, and you finally say, look, dude, I have prayed about this for weeks. I have cried over this. I am brokenhearted for you and for this. And if I'm wrong, I'm willing to admit this. But dude, I can't do this anymore. I can't hang out. I can't even eat with you anymore because you're going the wrong direction. Do you have any interest in going the right direction? And he goes, wow, I appreciate so much you saying something. And then you have a conversation. So you don't have to go there. But be careful. Somebody said one day you end up being like the five people that you run around with. Who are you running with?
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.